In a world of rulers, grids, and pixels where creativity knows no bounds, we champion the rebels, the dreamers, and the innovators, the ones who didn't wait for permission but forged their own path in design. I'm Joanna, your fellow self-taught designer and founder of Savvy Chic Design, and this is the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. Dive with us into the story of audacity, grit, and imagination from designers who made it on their own terms. So grab your tools, ignite that spark, and let's dive into the world where every line, curve, and pixel tells a story. Our guest for today is the dynamic entrepreneur in the weight inclusive field, advocating as an anti-diet dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. She operates her private practice, Vickery Wellness, and serves as the CEO of Declip Designs, a website and branding studio dedicated to weight inclusive businesses. All right, so I am just so excited to have our special guest because we are really going to be talking about one of the most sought after question is about niching down. Courtney, thank you so much for joining me in this podcast. I'm so excited to have you and really start this conversation. Now, I did say a little bit about you and what you do, but please do tell us more about what you do and your story and how it started as a self-taught designer.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here. So I am actually a dietitian by trade, which is why I often use the phrase dietitian turned designer. So it's funny, I feel like I've always been an entrepreneur. And I even found a few weeks ago a business card that I designed back in like the 90s for my lemonade stand. It had all the clip art and everything on it. And I was like, see, I've been doing this forever, my whole life. But it's been an interesting journey to this point. I do have a degree in political science first. I actually worked in politics for a year and decided not to continue that for obvious reasons. And I didn't want to go to law school. So I ended up going back and getting my dietetics degree and my master's in nutrition and becoming a dietitian. And since then I've worked like inpatient, outpatient, but a common theme through all of this has always been in some form or fashion, a type of marketing, because it's always some kind of community health program that I've been helping with or creating. And even the classes that I've taught at University of Georgia, where I teach classes, have focused on that as well, because it's just something I'm passionate about. And a lot of that stuff transfers over. And I think dietitians don't realize sometimes all the different skills that we have that can cross over into other areas. Figuring out, talking about niching today, like target audiences. We talk about that when we do community health programs, because you have to do the research first to figure out what they actually need and not just assume that. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey. I opened my studio in 2021. I opened my private practice in 2020 during the pandemic, and people just started asking for help with their websites even more because they noticed that I was actually doing it. I guess before it was like in the setting of whatever job I was in, but when you go off and do it on your own, then other entrepreneurs notice and ask who did that for you. And you're like, I did it myself. So I took the leap of faith and opened my studio. And now that's my full-time focus. And I'm booked out until almost December already.
I really do love that journey, right? From loss, from politics, and then no to law school, creating your own practice in 2020, the pandemic time, having that one and then opening your design studio. I love that process because I know a lot of our self-taught designer will be like, this is not the path I thought I'm going to take, but there is that need and I am earning money from it. But the good thing about your story is that as well, in terms of the concept of niching down, is that this is a pool of industry or people, which are dietitian, that are needing that design and creative help. Was there any in the stage and we're in, you had this way, okay, I'm going to do the design, they're going to be my client, but I'm going to open to other industry. Was there such a moment when that happened too?
Yeah. So when I started doing it, my first client was actually an interior designer, and she was just a local business owner friend that encouraged me to start doing this and helping other people. So she was my actual first client. And then I didn't really go out saying, I'm going to work with dietitians. I really only focused on the fact that I wanted to be values-based and that I knew that I wanted to work with weight-inclusive businesses because I'm an eating disorder survivor and the people that I work with are mostly eating disorder patients. And being weight-inclusive is just something that's really important to me. So I knew that I couldn't go and do services and services that focus on weight loss. So it didn't fit with my personal values. And I know that the weight inclusive space is a space that a lot of us are in as dietitians, and that if we're in that space, then we likely know each other or know of each other. And we all share the same values and approach to nutrition and health, and that everybody should be able to have access to health care and whatever version of health they feel like is right for them. So all that to say, that wasn't my plan other than to have that value. And when other dietitians heard that I was doing this, like in the very beginning, I had 6 clients from the get-go and I did not know how to spread those out. So I did them all at once and I didn't know how to figure out like how long would it take me to do this website, because in my mind, everything was really fast. Like I can do this so fast. So over time, I figured out that I prefer the 2-week process. I like to get it done and just focus on one project at a time. But it took me almost at least half a year or more to get to that point, because it's hard to tell somebody like, oh, I'm not booking out until 2 months from now, because you're obviously afraid that they'll be like, that's too late for me. So bye.
So, that is true. Because sometimes like they're so conscious with your timeline. Like I actually recently had that one in my automation of email, as when somebody replies, we already have, hey, for new clients, it will take 1 to 2 months, because it's just, hey, we just want to manage our expectation. And then she booked a call. Actually, we were having a conversation and then she said, yeah, okay, let's have that. Let's book a call. And then she replied back, oh, just disregard that because I saw that it's 1 to 2 weeks. But then I said, like, behind my mind, it's like, oh no, I should have edited that. But I had to reply back and said, you know what, we just want to be realistic. Like every timeline is based on functionality, what you want to achieve, what it is, but we just want to have that set, that parameter that you all understand that new clients can also come in. So I just want to step in with that one because it was so recent experience. And I was like, and then they actually edited it so that people won't deter and stop like working with us, because we might be busy and sometimes we're not, but we want to make sure that we manage properly expectation as well.
Yes, no, definitely. And something that I help a lot of dietitians and other businesses with is thinking about their inquiry process and how that works. Because some people want to do discovery calls, people hate them. Some people want to do phone calls or Zoom calls, or they just want to have an application. We talk through that. But at the same time, because of our values-based businesses that we have, we share values of being accessible to people and everyone. And not everyone wants to do a phone call. So like I even had someone reach out this week and email me and say, hey, I saw that you're a weight-inclusive practitioner and that's really important to me. And I've been looking for a designer that understands what I do for a long time. But please don't make me do a phone call. And I was like, 100%. I am neurodivergent. I do the phone calls because I personally like to talk, but there's a reason I don't do Zoom calls on discovery calls, because there's only so much Zoom calling I can do for a day.
Wow. And that is, I think that is that one thing is that I love it, because you've decided to really focus in this industry and that type of value that is the same as yours. The key there is that it's much easier to communicate. Because there are times like mine, we do e-learning, right? So there are different types of e-learning, and I can switch from like financial, real estate, everything. The whole concept is the same, but industry is different. And it does take a little bit of time, you learning the language, learning the industry jargons, right? And I love that one. And I know there's going to be a lot of self-taught designer who want to focus within their experience behind the scene as a designer and want to focus. And just like what Courtney has built, right? It is really driven. That is much more easier. And I actually, so funny is that we're the reverse. I love Zoom meetings. Like I love, let me see your face. Let me have a conversation so that we can understand each other. Cause yeah, I just love that one. Now, so with that, you've jumped in, you tried to figure out. So as a self-taught designer, what are the stages that you've been through to empower yourself through skills, through education and building from designing? Tell us a little bit about your journey when it comes to that.
Yeah. So like I said, I started in 1990 with Microsoft Word. Microsoft Paint. I don't know. Now it's one of those things where I think that you enjoy something, but you don't really think of it as a job. So you don't think that people will pay you for it. And that is exactly what I thought before I opened my studio. And that's why it took me so long to do it, because I kept telling my husband, nobody's going to pay me to do this. Everybody can do this. No, they can't. But I thought they could, because it was so easy to me. I have, even in grad school, this was back when Wix was just a portfolio site. I don't know if you remember that. It used to be like a slider site almost. And I had my graduate school like information on a site so that on my resume, they could go look at my portfolio online. And they like were amazed, because this was back in like 2012 or so. I don't know. And then during grad school, I blogged a lot. I blogged like every day. And I was like in all the blogging circles of all the health and fitness bloggers and what all the kind of toxic diet culture stuff of what I eat in a day and all those things. Always blogged and made my own logo with that. And I made my own graphics with all of that. And then again, in every job I've had, I end up like redoing all the flyers. So I've been using Canva for years. And then of course I wanted to up my game. So now I only build in WordPress. I say only because that's something that lately I have been open to everything. And I have found that just stresses me out more. I can use all those platforms. And I think it's nice to have a variety of skills. Like I've built sites with Elementor, Divi, Beaver Builder. I've used Cadence some, I've used Genesis Blocks. You name it, I've probably used it. But I took the time this year to really think about what tools I want to use. So I've done courses on Adobe Illustrator, and that's where I do all my, not my social media designs. I work smarter, not harder, right? Like I'm not going to go make a Instagram post in Adobe. I'm not trying to torture myself. I do that in Canva, but all my graphic design and logo work is done in Adobe. I've taken Abby Connick's classes and courses before. I love her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've just had her template for the branding, like mood boards, yes. Everything. Cause I want to elevate a little bit. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this art is so amazing. Makes my life a little bit easier.
Exactly. Yeah. I have hers too. And then I just adjusted it to my branding, cause our branding is very different, but yeah, her class. And then there was another class I took in the very beginning, and I cannot for the life of me remember it, but it was on Adobe Illustrator. So just learning more about it, already having a base idea of how it worked, but taking some courses on how to really use it to the best functionality for creating logos and other designs and brand patterns and everything. And then especially like with the website stuff, I've taken, like this year is the first year that I haven't bought like a million courses, because I told myself I could not buy courses this year. Like I could have one, and I've bought one. I just bought it this week, and I've bought one course, and it's about building courses. As a web designer, Anna Dower, I bought her course.
Yes, yes, Anna, yes.
Yeah, and I've done her other courses too. I did her designer boss boot camp course. I've done Emma Kate's course. I've done her SEO for web designers course. There's probably like a whole list, but especially Emma Kate, Anna Dower, Abby Connick. I've taken several copywriting courses with Ashlyn Carter. I'm in her copywriting for creatives course and her like membership and group. So I think like just continuously learning and learning about all the pieces and tools that, number one, you want to use and that make the most sense for you. So it made the most sense for me to figure out this year, what WordPress builder do I want to focus on? I tried them all. I used Divi for a long time, and now I use Breakdance, and it's just been so much more fun for me to build when I use a builder of my choice. So I'm trying to set a boundary that I won't say yes to other projects that aren't in Breakdance or my tool of choice. Because I've done some sites on Showit and played around with Squarespace helping people, and it's just not fun for me.
That is so true. It's really just like there are tools that in alignment. I know one thing about us is that we can really learn and figure things out different tools, same as you. If I want to learn break dance, am I correct? Yeah, I bet I can figure it out, but there will be like a bit of a detachment. Oh my gosh, what is this? What is it about? Where is that button, or where is that functionality? So I love this key point that you've actually mentioned, because it's not just even the industry or who you work with, but also what tools you work with. Mm-hmm. Because it creates a lot of streamlining, expertise, and it's easier also to market, right? To really market that messaging online.
Mm-hmm. So there's actually a couple, I don't want to say several, but there are a good little handful of us that are dietitian designers. So there's myself, there's Morgan, there's Nina, there's Amy, and there's Whitney. Those are the ones that come to my mind that are dietitians that also build websites, but we're also different. So like Morgan builds only on Showit. She doesn't touch WordPress. So if I get Showit people, I send them to her. She gets WordPress people, she sends them to me. Amy has done Squarespace and Showit. And then Whitney, she works with dietitians, but she's not only weight inclusive dietitians. It just all works together in our little community, I feel like, to community over competition. Like we know what our skill sets are and how we can best serve clients, and it's best to send them to the person that's a better fit.
That is also a very good point, because when you have a community of friends or fellow designers and you know their niche and their focus, you have that recommendation of who in mind. Like whether your pipeline is busy, you might not be familiar, but you know somebody else. And that is a very good point to take. So make sure, guys, if you are actually listening here right now, download this episode and take note of these amazing tips that Courtney is giving us, because that is very good, because we have that experience, right? Oh, I don't do that. Let me recommend you. Or if I'm so busy, let me recommend somebody else. And you want to build that relationship. Now, with all those courses that you have also signed up, have you noticed that it's every level of new, have you have the experience that every new level in your business, like the more you want to improve your skills, like there's really like a course that goes through that. Oh, it's like scaling, if I may say. Have you noticed that one really in the type of courses that you buy? That's basically what I meant.
Yes, because I think I'll answer this correctly. When I first started doing courses, it was like all new to me. And now I can look at a course and know that's not going to be helpful to me because I already know all these things. Not that I know everything. Nobody can know everything, but I know the majority of what they're, you just can read through some of the things a little more and you're like, okay, that's not what I'm looking for, which is why I think I was able to not buy so many courses this year. Cause it's not that I didn't see things that I'm like was interested in, but I really took the time to figure out, do I need that course right now? Is that something I should be focusing on? So for example, like the only one I bought was Anna's course, and I sat there, I thought on it for like several days because I was like, do I need this? I already did her other courses. Am I going to learn something new? And could I figure out how to put together a course on my own? Yes, obviously. But one thing I really like about her stuff is that she doesn't just give you the course and then say bye. It's we do the course live together. So there's like a weekly call every time. And that just really pulls me in and holds me accountable, because I was really bad about buying courses and not finishing them.
Yes, that is true. The accountability part of that component. And that is so true as well. Like the more you get into your business, the more you want additional learning, you can and make more better decision because you already know like what you need and what you need at that time. And also one thing I've noticed also with me as a self-taught and investing on learning to higher up the skills is that not every whole curriculum of that course will be used by me, like which part that I need. And then I acknowledge, because there are some like who complains or, oh, I don't complete it or some sort of this one. But those actually, like at times what I purchase, I already have gained the knowledge that what I needed on a certain part of their course. Of course, when you're starting up, right, you consume everything, but there's also going to be a time when you're going to say, I think I know enough. It's not to brag, just like we said, right? It's not bragging that I know everything. It's just that I think I already know enough. It's now implementing it, which is very important, implementing it.
Yeah. And I feel maybe this is just the ones I've seen, but I feel like a lot of the courses are geared toward people that are starting.
Yes.
This is a funny topic, actually, because one of my clients is actually my mentor too. And she is a business coach, a dietitian business coach. And she is launching her business coaching program called Expand. And it's all about this, like how to not just talk about starting your business, but growing your business and scaling it to something else instead of just basically trading time for money.
Yeah, it is indeed just like different components of the course, different type mm-hmm. of and business and process as well. Now, with you focusing on certain type of tools, certain type of clientele, have you ever had any challenges and wherein you said, I'm just gonna, because I know a while ago you said like you can do everything and then we can focus on, but what are some of the challenges that you've encountered as you go through focusing on a niche, on a tool, or in an industry?
Yeah. So I would say in the beginning, it was challenging because I was afraid to niche down. So in the beginning, I just said small businesses. And then very quickly, I was like, wait, inclusive small businesses. And then that just felt too broad because what does that mean? Small business. I know what it means, but what does it really mean? Like women-owned businesses or like e-commerce businesses, in-person business? What does that mean? And what kind of sites do those look like? And again, what we're talking about and speaking our language other than ourselves, if we don't want to have to explain that to everybody. I think in the beginning, being afraid to niche down, because it's like, can I get enough business from just working with this one group of people? And I really like the whole thing of think of an ideal client avatar. Like it stresses me out, I think, to think I only work with 23-year-old Susie who shops at Target and drinks a soy latte. That stresses me out. I know you need to understand your target audience, definitely. But I'm like, why do we need to get that detailed? I know it helps like the visual piece of it, but it's just stressful to me.
It is. It is stressful because that's the first thing that even me even started. Who's my avatar? Yeah. So I want to work with everyone. I want to work with X, Y, and Z who has this or who has the money that can pay me, right? But yeah, it's just so, this is so stressful. And yeah, the fear is really real. The fear is really real when you're trying to niche down and just like focusing on that one. Now, with this as well, let's talk about a little bit about networking, because I know you mentioned that word of mouth, referrals, right? And then you are fully booked until December. Do you network in person? Is that the only networking that you focus on where they are at? Tell us a little bit about your journey of networking.
I'm laughing because I hate networking in person. I hate those little get-togethers where you have to go around and make small talk. It's torture for me. I like doing stuff like this, like going on people's podcasts or like doing little virtual coffee chats. Like I literally just scheduled one right before we got on here with one of the dietitian designers that I haven't talked to yet. I like to network like this, and I like to sponsor events that are in alignment with my values. For example, I'm like the past 2 years, there's been a BIPOC eating disorder conference, and I am always a sponsor for that because it's something that I really believe in. And I don't even really do it to, I don't think I've gotten a client from it necessarily. That's not why I'm doing it, but it's close to my values. And I feel like people appreciate that you do those things and that you're like not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. But then as far as networking and like wanting to sponsor something to get more clients, like I sponsor I have a booth a virtual booth at one of the nutrition entrepreneurs symposium they have every year. And it's a virtual like conference basically. And they use this platform where you have like your own little booth and people like visit your booth virtually and you can chat with them. And then you can have like your own live workshop and chat with people and then collect leads and things like that. So that's a big source of where people learn about me is through that. The thing that's different about that one, though, is that it's all people. It's not just like people that believe in weight inclusivity. It's all of us. But that's why it's important for me to make it clear. Like I do weight inclusive websites, basically. And then another one is there's just different organizations like within our space. And that's what the niching helps with is focusing on those organizations. Because if I just said small businesses, like where would I go? Okay, Chamber of Commerce. Blah. You're going to get so many different things. It's just going to be stressful because you're going to be like, I don't know if I want to work with that type of client. It's just all over the place. But when you do niche down like this and it's somebody or a niche that you feel passionate about. Don't niche just a niche. Don't just pick something out of thin air and hope it works out. Do something that you're passionate about. Then it, one thing, you'll naturally people gravitate towards you, but you'll also figure out where are those people really hanging out. And that's what they're talking about when they talk about niching. It's like, where are your people hanging out? And people think, oh, just Instagram. Be more specific. What show, like what conferences are they going to? How can you interact with them in a genuine and authentic way at those conferences? How can you get to know those people more and what's important to them? It's not just about, I want to work with this because they make a lot of money or whatever it is. It's what am I passionate about? How can I make genuine, authentic human connection with these people and where are they?
I love that point that when you niche down where to look or what to look for, because I've been there. I'm part of the chamber because when starting out, because I found a value that yes, I can build my online connection, but then what if happened online, right? The connection that I have in Colorado, if I don't have their information, I can no longer have a coffee chat with them. But then when I have local network as well, then I can build that relationship. Then I can have a balance of online and offline networking. And I so agree with you that by knowing what you are looking for, you know where to look for it. And then you need where to qualify whether it is the right fit. Because I've canceled both of my chamber membership, both in my small town and in the next town. It's just because it is a different pool. It's not my ideal client. Mm-hmm. They are not there. But the connection is good, right? We've built mm-hmm. that relationship. They get to know you, all of these things. But then really being able to hone down and spend. And one thing also I love with what you're doing, Courtney, is you are investing in marketing by sponsoring and also hosting all of these things, right? Hey, let me be the sponsor for Pranish. Tell me a little bit about that. Did somebody like tap you? Hey, would you like this? Or were you able to find something and said, I think I can sponsor this, or maybe I can be part of that one. What's your experience with that?
Yeah. So for the BIPOC Eating Disorder Conference, this was their second year, I think. The first year, not that big of a world in general, but it's even a smaller world when you get into our little niche of weight inclusive providers. And the person, one of the co-founders of the event, was somebody that I had done supervision with. So as a dietitian working with eating disorders, we often get supervision just because these cases are challenging. So she was the co-founder. So that's how I knew about it. I would have heard about it either way, but then they may have emailed me. I'm not sure, but I would have done it anyways because I wanted to support them. So I did it the first year, and then I think they reached out this year. Again, would have done it anyways and was a sponsor again. This year, I'm the one of four or five sponsors for the Weight Inclusive Nutrition and Dietetics Association, WIND. They're having their in-person conference next week in Denver. I really wanted to go in person, but I just could not work it out. One thing, it's really expensive. And two, I have two kids and my husband has to work all weekend and it's just chaos. So it was just too many logistics, sadly. There is going to be a virtual version of it. So I'm hoping to make some connections there. But I think the way that one worked out was they needed some help with some things and I wanted to sponsor. So we came up with a deal that made everybody happy. And so I'm providing services and paying some so that I can be a sponsor and help them in multiple kinds of ways. But yeah, I think just talking to people, like I have them on my podcast and again, like just setting up times to talk and like as much as social media can be a not great experience, sometimes it's a necessary evil because it is how I stay in touch with people and literally talk to them. Like Instagram, for example, people will say you need to post every day and you need to do all these things. I'm like, I'm not trying to go viral. I'm literally just talking to my people. So I might post sometimes, I might not, but I'm always in my stories asking people silly questions. Like yesterday, I was like, I need to know, do you do sock, shoe or sock, shoe? It's a very important question I need to know right now. It's just like silly things, but people will engage with it because they're like, no, that's wrong. And then you get to talk to them about it. It's silly, but you get to know people through that. It's not just about selling all the time. It's about talking and being friends with people.
Yes, just building that relationship as well behind the scene and have a conversation, letting them know that you're in business, but then having fun with it. Don't be too pressured because I agree with that. We've been taught like show this, post this time, this analytics, this. And then I just had to stop. I just said, you know what? I'm going to do what works best for me and my business. I'm going to show up but I'm not going to be pressured to do things that is not aligned with what you, with what I want to do. And going back as well, I love, this is one thing that I also would love to share to our self-designers, right? Because sometimes we are having this mindset that, oh, I'm not a graduate of X, Y, and Z. If somebody, if I start networking online, they might be wondering what's like my credentials of some sort, right? When I network, but no one really ever told you, ask you like where you're graduate, what's your, what school you are, right? But it's just really putting yourself out there. Yep, I own a small design business. I'd love to sponsor if this is something that you would love, or I'd love to have an X deal to have my logo there. And if I have opportunity to speak a seconder, I'll do it. And that's what I've been doing, because I build Savvy Chic Design. We're in, all of my clients was outside Kentucky. And there was a time I said, I need to serve my Kentuckians as well. Like, where are you at? So I really had that conscious decision that I also want to build that presence here in Kentucky. And it was good. Start building relationship, sponsoring, being able to connect. So that's a very good way as well to build that portfolio, knowing that your niche, who you serve, where you want them. So that's very important. Now, I know as a busy entrepreneur, mama, wife, it's a little bit hard to balance at times. Now, what's a normal Courtney week or day? Tell me a little bit about that. Let's have fun with all of this. What's going behind the scene in our business?
Chaos. Just chaos. I haven't been diagnosed with ADHD, but I have other neurodivergencies that I've been diagnosed with, but I always joke that it's like organized chaos. So in general, Monday through Friday, 9 to 2, with the exception of Wednesday, I typically in my office hours at 12:30, because I usually have something at 1, because I have to, and also have to get my kids at 2:30, which is why I end at 2. Mondays and Fridays are usually calls with clients on projects. So like Mondays is launch call, kickoff calls. Fridays are launch calls. And I literally have I'm laughing because I have a spreadsheet up right now, because I was like, I need to close off these blocks in a more organized way and not be afraid of doing that. Cause at first I was afraid of doing that. If I'm not open all the time, then how are they going to make an appointment? Because I'm trying to balance it between those calls with clients, my care plan clients that can schedule calls, podcast interviews for my podcast and for other podcasts, CEO time, which I feel like is important, like just admin time, which I don't get enough of. And then I also offer strategy calls, like 90-minute strategy calls, which have been pretty popular because sometimes people just need one-off help. So yeah, I'm literally staring at a spreadsheet right now thinking of like, how can I split these up? And I wish I could say, and at 2 o'clock, I put my computer away. Lies.
I wish we could say that one, right?
Yeah, that is my goal. Maybe that'll be my goal in 2024. But it's just, if anybody else has kids and like family stuff and what pets, whatever, like you just know your day is so broken up. It's so hard to say, oh, I definitely worked from 9 to 2 today, because you had calls and you had to go get your kids. My dog ate grapes this week, and so I had to take him to the vet 3 days in a row. My kid got hurt last week. We had to go to urgent care. Like, it's just constant stuff that gets in the way. And so then you end up working in the evening. And I don't like that, but it's also, I like the flexibility of my life and the fact that I could go to those things and deal with them in real time. So it's a pros and cons.
Yeah, that is so true. Cause like me as well, I started to do the Monday, no client meeting, just internal and admin. And then we actually really said that we don't work on Fridays, but here I am, right? Doing some stuff. But that's where I'm like, I'm still there, but I'm just telling clients that we are not there. I kind of want to focus on things, right? And this is why the reason why I can interview on a Thursday, I can do podcast recording on a Friday. It was just content's decision to block things, but it took time. It really took, because I had the same mindset, like, I need my calendar to be open so that when they want to talk to me or hire me, it's available, like, anytime. But I'm like a rabbit. Like, there was a time, like, I put up, that's why I only do coffee meetups or anything on a Friday or a Monday, because I remember, like, why am I driving towards here on a Wednesday and I'm back again on a Thursday? Like, this doesn't sound so good, or like meetings are so good. So it will take a little bit of flexing for those self-taught designers who are starting out until such time. And the organized chaos is a part fun fact of running this business. So just calm down. That's okay. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. You're okay. You're a part of us.
Awesome.
Yes. Courtney, we do have some self-taught designers from different stages, or maybe somebody who's just listening to us and saying, I kind of want to venture into, I have this experience. I want to focus and help out because I've noticed that maybe X, Y, and Z type of industry doesn't have that much help, or they have been asking me. What are advice that you can give who are considering to niching down and really also opening their design business?
So many things. Number one, don't listen to that voice in your head that tells you you're an imposter, because you're not. Number two, don't be afraid to try things. I think that we, at least I do anyways, tend to want things to be a certain way or perfect before we do something. And it doesn't have to be perfect because it doesn't exist. Just try it. And if it doesn't work, then you learn something and you get to try a different way next time. And set your boundaries. Think about what you are comfortable with and what you aren't comfortable with. If you are like, I absolutely will not work in the evenings and that's just not going to work for me, then like we just talked about, sit down and make a schedule and figure out how you can somewhat make that happen within reason, because life happens. And also, this is something I've been working on, is you are a CEO if you have a business. You don't have to have a team of 10 people. So I changed my email signature like 2 weeks ago. And because I hired a virtual assistant and I've contracted out some like SEO people. And I'm like, you know what? I'm a CEO. So you're a CEO if you want to be.
Yes, for sure. We are a badass CEO for going into mm-hmm. this world of entrepreneurship. I always say this one, that we are the crazy ones who are embarking in this amazing journey of craziness and adventure and fun. So that is, I love all of this. And especially the note that you said, the self-doubt, procrastination, or like thinking that we are not good enough to be calling a designer or a web designer, or being able to really establish a business that can really help. Because at the end of the day, Courtney, you'll agree with me that we are doing what we're doing because we want to help. We want to help the clients that we help.
Yep, exactly. Yes. Yep.
Awesome. Courtney, thank you so much for spending this amazing time. I just love you coming in and sharing your journey and just being able to let people know how it is to work with a specific industry, really honing who you want to tap and work with. And look at you. I just said congratulations and fully booked. It's really just awesome, because that is hard work. That is really hard work. So tell us a little bit where they can reach you. How can they connect with you? Fellow designers, even potential clients, let us know.
Yes. So my website is Declet, which is my kids' names smushed together, Declet designs.com. And I hang out mostly on Instagram at Declet Designs. I just opened a membership for, it's called Tech Savvy Clinician Crew. So if you know anyone in private practice or anybody that just wants to learn about tech stuff, come hang out with us. We talk about automations, SEO, different EMRs, and how to set up things to make it easier for their life.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. So make sure to follow in the show notes as well as the description of this podcast. We are going to leave all of Courtney's links. So make sure to follow. And the good thing about this is that I've also opened a new Instagram page, which is called the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. Go check that one out. We are going to release and all of the other things. We are one community here, a self-taught designer, building our dreams, helping our clients, and just like Courtney, identifying and eventually niching down into who we want to serve and who we want to work with. Courtney, thank you so much for spending time with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And there we have it, another episode diving deep into the world of self-taught designer. We truly hope these stories and insight continue to inspire and fuel your creative journey. Remember, every professional was once an amateur and every expert began as a beginner. A big thanks to our guests, sponsors, and especially you, our listener. Your support makes every episode a new adventure. If you find value in today's discussion, consider sharing this podcast with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Your feedback that only help us grow, but also reach out more self-taught designers out there. So stay curious, keep pushing those boundaries, and always trust in your unique design journey. I'm Joanna, and this has been the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. See you next time.